Israel wants a king, King Saul. Part 1. God's desire for his people Israel had been that they be a holy nation of people with a royal priesthood. We read about that in Exodus 19, verse 1 through 6. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness before the mountain. And Moses went up the mountain to God, and the Lord called him. Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, Tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Speak these words to the children of Israel. But when God had spoken the words of the Ten Commandments in their hearing, they had become scared. Exodus 20, verse 18 and 19. Now all the people witnessed the thundering, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, Don't let God speak with us, lest we die. You speak with us, and we will hear. Questions to discuss. Do you notice in these scriptures how very awesome our God is? Not a God to just be played with. He is highly exalted above everything, and must be fully obeyed and worshipped, even though he also wants us to call him our Father. Do you notice that our God obviously wanted all people of Israel together to be holy and priests directly under him, so that they could also have been priests to the world around them? The people had become afraid of God and did not want to listen to him directly. Moses had to listen to God and tell them afterwards what God had said. But now this lesson takes us to a time hundreds of years later when Israel has settled in the promised land that God had given them. Israel had been a people with as their leader, their king, God himself. He governed through judges who were like prophets. The last such judge was called a seer because God spoke so very clearly through him, the prophet Samuel. We read in 1 Samuel 8, verse 26, Now when Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. They were judges in Beersheba. But they did not walk in Samuel's ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But it displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Listen to the people in all that they say to you, because they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now therefore, listen to their voice. However, you shall clearly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, "This is what the king will do who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen, and some will run before the chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties. Will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers, and he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage, and give it to his officers and servants. And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men and your donkeys, and make them work for himself. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants. You will cry out because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day." Nevertheless, the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel and said, "No, we will have a king over us, so that we may also be like all the nations around us, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed their voice, and make them a king." We realize that we all are like this people, Israel. We don't want to come too close to our God, but let others do that for us. And we end up so often becoming deceived by bad leaders, bad pastors. Do you also notice that though Samuel hoped that God would do something about his people rejecting him as their king, our God does not force Israel, nor will he ever force us either, because he wants our love, and that can only be love if we freely give it. And now, God will give them what they want, a king. And it is love for a people that rejects him so very much. He still loves them and gives them the best possible king. But he will be a sinner just like all of us, and he may fail his God and God's people. We continue now reading about this in 1 Samuel 9, verse 1. "There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphia, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a choice and handsome son, whose name was Saul. There was no more handsome person than him among the children of Israel. He was taller than any of the people. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son, 'Please, take one of the servants with you and go look for the donkeys.' So he went through the mountains of Ephraim and through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. Then they crossed through the land of Sha'alim, and they were not there. Then they passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they did not find them there either. When they had come to the land of Zoph, Saul said to his servant, "Come, let us go home, lest my father cease caring about the donkeys and become worried about us." And the servant answered him, "Look, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he says surely happens. So let us go there. Maybe he can show us what we should do." And Saul answered his servant, "But what shall we bring the man if we go? Because the bread in our vessels is all gone, and they have no present to give to the man of God. What do we have?" Then the servant said, "Look, I have 1/4 of a shekel of silver, and will give that to the man of God to give us direction." Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he spoke like this, "Come, let us go to the seer," because who is now called a prophet was in the past always called a seer. And Saul said to his servant, "Well said, come, let's go." And they went to the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they met some young women going out to draw water and asked them, "Is the seer there?" And they answered, "Yes, there he is, just ahead of you. Go quickly, because he came here as there is a sacrifice of the people today on the high place. As soon as you come in the city, you will surely find him before he goes up to the high place to eat, because the people will not begin eating until he has come, as he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. So go up, because you will find him about now." So they went up into the city, and as they were entering the city, there was Samuel coming out toward them on his way up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel the day before Saul came, "Tomorrow about this time I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, so that they may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. Because I have looked upon my people, as their cry has come to me." And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, "There he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people." Saul now walked up to Samuel in the gate and asked him, "Please tell me, where is the seer's house?" And Samuel answered, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, because you shall eat with me today. Tomorrow I will let you go and tell you all that is in your heart. But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, don't be anxious about them, because they have been found. And who does Israel desire? Is it not you and your father's house?" Then Saul said, "Am I not a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family is the least of all the families of the tribes of Benjamin? Why do you talk to me like this?" This answer by Saul makes me think now of Gideon, who also had been so humble when God had called him to deliver Israel from a huge 1,000,000-strong army of Midianites. In Judges 6, verse 14 through 16, we read, "Then the Lord said to Gideon, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?' And Gideon said to him, 'Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'Surely, I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. And stepping out in faith, trusting God, Yahweh delivered Israel using Gideon. Gideon then became God's leader of Israel all the days of his life, judging the people. He made, however, a beautiful statement when Israel asked him to become their ruler. They had asked him, "Rule over us, both you and your sons and your grandsons also, because you have delivered us from the hand of Midian." But Gideon had answered, "I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." So Gideon became a good leader of Israel, making the people understand that they all must be led by Father God, even if Gideon would be their spiritual leader. So the God of Israel would receive all honor and glory, and not Gideon. As we continue reading, we will see that King Saul was not such a man in the end. He began glorifying himself instead of his God, thus drawing the people away from God. God may well have chosen Saul from the tribe of Benjamin because of Jacob's spoken blessing to his son Benjamin in Genesis 49, verse 27. "Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil." Was Saul not such a warrior? And God had blessed the tribe of Benjamin very specially through these words spoken by Moses in Deuteronomy 33, verse 12. "The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him who shelters him all day long, and he shall dwell between God's shoulders." Apparently, God loved Benjamin very much and intimately. God honors such blessings when spoken in his presence. And I think that God chose Saul also specifically for his humility. God often uses people who know that they cannot do things by themselves, so that they may totally rely on him, because only God is capable of everything. He is the only one who is almighty. But often people whom God helps start, in the end, think that they are good and stop acknowledging God as the source of their success. Such a man, we will see, was Saul. Questions to discuss. Could our God have chosen a Benjaminite because of the blessings spoken over Benjamin in the past? Do you see here how powerful our spoken words can be? Spoken for Satan or spoken for our God? Do you notice how God totally leads these events? First, starting Saul and his servant on a journey, then telling Samuel about his plans for a king, then bringing both Samuel and Saul together at the same village at the same time, and finally God telling Samuel, "This one shall reign over my people." Do you notice how confident Samuel is about hearing his God clearly? God always looks for humble people to do his work. Do you notice that also Saul is humble at this time, wondering why God would choose him? We now continue reading 1 Samuel 9, verse 22. Samuel took Saul and his servants and brought them into the hall and set them in the place of honor among those who were invited. There were about 30 persons. And Samuel said to the cook, "Bring the portion of which I told you, set it apart." So the cook took up the thigh with its upper part and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, "Here it is. What was kept back especially for you, since I invited the people?" So Saul ate with Samuel that day. When they had come down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on the top of the house. They arose early, and it was about the dawning of the day that Samuel called to Saul on the top of the house, "Get up, so that I may send you on your way." And Saul got up, and both of them went outside, he and Samuel. And as they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell your servant to go on ahead of us, but you wait here so that I may announce to you the word of God." Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say to you, 'The donkeys which you went to look for have been found, and now your father has ceased to care about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, "What shall I do about my son?" Then you shall go on and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There, three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a sack of wine, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is. And when you have come to the city, you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and the harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And when these things come, do as the occasion demands, because God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you should do." And when Saul had turned around to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs happened that day. When they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and he prophesied among them. And when all who knew him before saw him prophesying among the prophets, the people said to one another, "What is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" Then the man from there answered and said, "But who is their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" And when Saul had finished prophesying, he went to the high place. questions to discuss. Do you notice Saul submitting himself to God's representative, Samuel? Do you see how Saul's obedience allows God to give him right there a new heart so that Saul now can be very close to God, causing him even to prophesy? This is a miracle only our Father God can do. Would you like that too? What will it require for you to do? Always obey and seek to have a clean heart that only God can give? Will getting a clean heart become easier if we ask God to help us to get rid of bitterness about past hurts? Will God stay close to us if we begin disobeying Him willfully in our daily life, like through pride, arrogance, sexual immorality, etc.? We now continue reading from 1 Samuel 10, verse 14. Saul's uncle said to him and his servant, "Where did you go?" And Saul answered him then, "To look for the donkeys. And when we saw that they were nowhere to be found, we went to Samuel." And Saul's uncle responded, "Please tell me, what did Samuel..." "Please tell me what Samuel said to you." And Saul said, "Oh, he simply told us that the donkeys had been found." But the matter of the kingdom, he did not tell him what Saul had said. Israel is at this moment in time waiting for Samuel to lead them in appointing a king from God. Do you notice that Saul's uncle is suspicious that God may be doing something special with Saul through Samuel? Did the uncle maybe also notice a change in character in Saul? We now continue in verse 17. Then Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah, and said to the children of Israel, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt, and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians, and from the hand of all the kingdoms, and from those who oppressed you. But you have today rejected your God, who himself saved you from all your adversaries and your tribulations. And you have said to him, 'Set a king over us.' Now therefore, prepare yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans." And when Samuel had ceased, caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. And when he had made the tribe of Benjamin come near by their families, the family of Matri was chosen, and Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, "Has the man come here yet?" And the Lord answered, "There he is, hiding among the equipment." So they ran over and brought him before. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people. And Samuel said, "Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is no one like him among all the people?" So all the people shouted and said, "Long live the king!" But some rebels said, How can this man save us? So they despised him and brought him no present. But Saul held his peace. Questions to discuss. Do you notice again Saul's humility? Or was he just shy? Can God use people very well who think that they are good and capable? Do our abilities not come from our God when we acknowledge Him? We read further in 1 Samuel 11. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and besieged Jabesh Gilead. And the man of Jabesh said to Nahash, Make a covenant with us, and we will serve you. And Nahash the Ammonite answered, On this condition I will make a covenant with you, that I may put out all your right eyes and bring reproach on all Israel. Then the elders of Jabesh said to him, Hold off for 7 days, so that we may send messengers to all the territory of Israel, and if there is no one to save us, we will come out to you. So the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and told the news to the people, and the people cried out and wept. And when Saul came home behind the herd from the field, and he asked, What troubles you people that you are weeping? They told him the words of the man of Jabesh. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this, and his anger was greatly aroused. So he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, Whoever does not go out with Saul and Samuel to battle, so it shall be done to his oxen. And 300,000 of the children of Israel came, and from the men of Judah 30,000. And they said to the messengers, Thus you shall say to the man of Jabesh Gilead, Tomorrow, by the time the sun is hot, you shall have help. And on the next day Saul put the people in three companies, and they attacked the enemy camp in the morning watch and killed the Ammonites until the heat of the day. Then the people said to Samuel, Who is he who said, Shall Saul reign over us? Bring the man, that we may put them to death. But Saul said, Not a man shall be put to death this day, because today the Lord has accomplished salvation in Israel. Then Samuel said to the people, Come, let us go up to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And they made sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. We now skip a little, but return when Samuel speaks to the people. When you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, A king shall reign over us, while the Lord your God was your king. Well, here is the king you have desired and chosen. And notice, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve him, and obey God's voice, and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, both you and the king who reigns, you will continue following the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the Lord will be against you, as he was against your fathers. Now watch the great thing the Lord will do before your eyes. I will call to the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain, so that you may realize that your wickedness is great in the sight of the Lord in asking a king for yourselves." Then Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die, because we have added to all our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves." Then Samuel said to the people, "Do not be afraid. You have done all this wickedness, but do not turn aside from following the Lord and serve him with all your heart." Questions to discuss. Is it easy for a man to remain humble and faithful to God when things go well for him? Saul soon began disobeying God and doing things his own way. Are we all not greatly at risk of also turning away from God when things go well again in our lives? We all must continually fear our God, be in awe of him and his almighty majesty. We must cling closely to him and continually seek him with all our hearts. So he will keep us closer to himself and bless our lives because he loves us. End of this lesson.